With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving. At your desk. Maybe at the gym. But you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Hi, Paul Dennett here. Just letting you know that Cricket Unfiltered is now on Patreon. If you are a fan of our show and would like to support us with a few dollars each month, go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered or click the link in the show notes on your podcast app.
Menas here, our Patreon supporters will also get some pretty cool bonus content. Paul will be doing a series of cricket history podcasts.
And Menas will be doing long-form interviews with leading cricket personalities.
All of these shows, plus other bonus features, will be available exclusively to our Patreon supporters.
The first bonus episodes are available now. So if you want some great extra content, or if you just love the show and would like to help support us financially, please go to patreon.com/cricketunfiltered. Now, on with today's show.
What we're working to do and what the BCCI are working to do, and they've been incredibly cooperative, is working to move the entire cohort out of India, so where they will then wait until it's possible to return to Australia. And so the BCCI has been working on a range of options. That's now narrowed down to the Maldives and Sri Lanka. We're not seeking any kind of special exemptions whatsoever.
I would describe their reaction as it created a lot of anxiety. They're quite anxious about that. I mean, they signed up for India and they signed up with their eyes wide open about some of the challenges and risks when they went in. So that's stating that up front. They always knew when they came back they would have to do isolation of 14 days to come back into the country. What they didn't expect was the borders to be closed. So that created some anxiety for them, just like it would create anxiety for the 9,000 odd Australians, I think, who are over there looking to come home. So that's just a normal reaction, I would have thought, from our players. That's how they feel.
That was Nick Hockley, the acting CEO for Cricket Australia, and Todd Greenberg, the CEO of the Australian Cricketers Association. I'm Menas, and welcome back to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I think it's the off-season, but it is all happening in the cricket world. Kidnappings, IPL cancellations, a lot to get through. Joining me in studio is Paul Dennett. Paul, how are you?
Hi, Menas. Good. How are you?
Very good, thank you. And welcome back, Jaleesa Apps from Channel 10. How are you?
Hi, I'm very well.
Wow. What a couple of days of cricket. In today's episode, we're going to call Barrett Sundaresan from Crick Buzz to discuss all the cricket news coming out of India. Then we've got the headlines. Then we're going to bring it home with Can't Let It Go. All right, let's call Barrett to kick things off.
Manners.
Barrett, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm good. How are you?
Good, thank you. There's been so much happening. I guess the first thing I want to start with is, you know, the situation in India with COVID is obviously awful. We're all very concerned about the population in India. You know, how's your family going and how are you going? I mean, you're a long way from home, but there must be a lot of friends and family in a pretty tough spot back home.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you for asking, man. Yeah, it really has been a very weird time. Like, here I am, you know, making the most of being in a city like Adelaide and in a country like Australia. You know, taking my puppy to puppy preschool and, like, you know, right now walking to the supermarket. Whereas, like, you know, my own people, like my own mother has been stuck at home for the last 18 months. Mm-hmm. And not just stuck at home, just living with the fear that she can get the virus anytime. And that's true for everyone who's in India right now. It doesn't matter what age you are. A friend of mine messaged me yesterday saying, look, Bharat, I'm scared for the first time in my life, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm sitting at home. I know I'm not safe, and if something happens to me, that's it. I can't even have anyone with me to deal with this. So that's the reality. And I'll be honest, Manas, I've lost family. My wife's lost family. Mm. So has every Indian, I think, around the world. Somebody or the other has succumbed to the virus, and you know what? It's just getting worse by the day.
And whereabouts exactly are your family?
So my mother's in Bombay. So I'm originally from there. Okay. So. Yeah, so Mumbai was hit the worst when the second or third wave, came about. But then it has recovered since. But I don't know whether you can call it a recovery. It's only it's very relative. Yeah.
In your interview with Jared Waitley the other day and Ravi Shastri, Shastri was talking about Mumbai as though it had really recovered well. Was he being overly optimistic?
I mean, Ravi Shastri is always optimistic about everything in life. But but about the numbers itself, like he was fair. It was a fair comment because the numbers have dropped. Like, they were recording like 40,000 cases a day not too long back. But now it's come down to the, come down to 2,000 or 4,000 cases, which, you know, looking at the rest of the country is a marked improvement. But the thing also is because Bombay has gone into lockdown. And the Mumbai police is definitely more or stricter than the cops everywhere else in the country. It's made a difference, but you know what? That I was speaking to someone else this morning. I said, that's the thing about India. Like, now, because COVID's in focus, we're talking only about the thousands dying because of COVID. But people can't keep the city shut for too long in India. People, like, you know, there is no social welfare. There is no job keeper, job seeker. So, if you can't go to work for a majority of the population, you can't feed your family. Mm. So you have to get out at some point.
And is it fair to say, and correct me if this is wrong, but my impression has been that you're absolutely right about India needing to not be able to lock down as long as a place like Australia could, but that Modi's government encouraging political rallies and attendances at weddings and religious things and even the cricket has... allowed COVID to sort of take hold in a way that it otherwise might not have needed to, and that because the BCCI and the government are very much kind of maybe intertwined is too strong a term, but does that feed into why the coverage of the IPL seems so reluctant to acknowledge the scale of the crisis because it would be an implicit criticism of the government?
You're absolutely right on every point you made there, Paul, because it's true. I mean, intertwined is, I think you're on the money with it.
Right.
They are. I mean, the secretary of the board is Jay Shah, who's the son of Amit Shah, who's the second in command to the Prime Minister Narendra Modi, and who many people in the country consider to be the most powerful man in India, which is Amit Shah. So the BCCI and the government are, if not on paper, but in many ways they are intertwined. And look, after a point, I think it did become a face-saving exercise. I mean, just keeping the IPL going on. And you're also right about the fact that you can't just blame the IPL. At least, I mean, the IPL did not have crowds from the beginning. There have been massive political rallies going on in some states which had elections finished on Sunday. And, you know, they were definitely encouraged by all political parties, to be honest. And even today, just before you guys called me, I saw there's some festival somewhere in Gujarat where ladies, it's something to do with I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there are thousands of people, like, you know, like sticking to each other on the street and just walking along, you know, along the busy streets of Gujarat. And we've seen the Kumbh Mela, which is a very Hindu festival of sorts, where you see all these sadhus jump into the Ganges naked, and that's been allowed to go on. You know, having said all that, people are to blame as well. Like my own cousins, you know, they were going on vacations like just a month back. People have been like organizing weddings and attending weddings. So people, like, you know, people did take it very, like, they did become a little complacent. That's why I don't blame the average worker who had no other option but to leave his home to go work. But people like these have really added to the whole, you know, whole issue now. And, well, you'll just have to suffer, I guess.
What was your opinion of the IPL going ahead from the start? Not perhaps what we know now, but maybe a few weeks in when things were not going great, but they were saying it's safe, we're in a bubble. What were you feeling there, and what was the sentiment, if you know, over in India? Were people happy to have some relief to watch, or was there a sense of anger that this was going ahead?
I was personally torn, Jalisa, and so were a majority of people in India, because you heard like very strong debates from both sides. I mean, there were people, my friends, messaging me saying, like, why should the IPL stop at least for 4 or 5 hours? I have something, I have a break. And cricket, like, you know, it's been called a religion in India, which I've never understood. What it really is this massive escape for a majority of people from the harsh reality of their life. You know, I mean, I come from a middle-class family, so I'm slightly more privileged than, you know, someone from maybe poorer background. But, you know, I'm not as privileged as the really rich of India. But even for us, like, you know, just daily life, you get a break by watching cricket. Cricket and Bollywood really are the only things that provide us with an escape. So for a lot of people, especially when you're locked in at home, it was a boon. It was the brightest part of their day. But at the same time, you know, if you have someone dying in your family, and, like, you know, or forget about dying in your family, that happens all the time. But if you can't find a bed or an ambulance for your next of kin, I don't think really cricket matters. Or then obviously you'd be frustrated when you see, you know, like these glitzy lights and, you know, a fake crowd noise and fake cheers from the crowd, and the commentators not acknowledging it. And Jalisa, I think that's where people got frustrated. Mm.
Barrett, tell me, what about the cancellation of the IPL? Obviously, in hindsight, this has been a monumental cock-up by the BCCI. They're going to cost themselves tens of millions of dollars because they didn't stage it in the UAE. I mean, were they stubborn? Were they stupid? Were they selfish? I mean, why didn't they hold it in the UAE in a tight bubble, and they still could have entertained the Indian population without what we're seeing now? Players stuck, the competition over, and, you know, it's basically a catastrophe. You've got 38 of Australia's cricketers stuck over there. You've got Mike Hussey's contracted COVID. Mm. I mean, this is a massive cock-up by the BCCI.
Can't disagree at all with you there, Manas. Yeah, and, you know, the treasurer of the BCCI, Arun Dumal, has given an interview to my former employers in the Indian Express, where, you know, some of the quotes are like, you know, you're like, what are you even saying? Like, you know, saying, oh, if we knew something like this was going to happen, we would have taken it overseas. But, you know, we were in the midst of a pandemic when you made this decision. And we saw what happened during the India-England series. There were crowds, and then they had to stop crowds. And then there was that other Masters tournament where even the ultimate master of Indian cricket, like, you know, fell victim to the virus. Thank God he survived, Sachin Tendulkar. And, you know, where there were like 60,000 people, like, you know, sitting next to each other, no masks on. And so there was a precedent for you to say, maybe, you know what, maybe we shift it, or maybe we push it back to do something about it. But look, when the government and the people in power at the end of February said, we have defeated COVID, and, you know, they also said, like, oh, we are the, what did they say? We are the pharmacy of the world. And, you know, you shipped off vaccines. There's so much that has, like, you know, gone wrong, which has led to the situation, dire situation India finds itself in. And the IPL certainly did not help.
It seems like the players over there are pretty reticent to speak up about what they've seen. Adam Zampa made a couple of comments when he came back that he didn't feel the bubble was that tight. But the Australian players over there are worried about, you know, their pay packet and being getting to go back there and play in the IPL again. But do you think over the next few months we'll actually see stories emerge of, you know, that the bubble was a bit of a disaster?
I think we might hear those stories in the next few days, Benaz, to be honest. I'm sure there'll be some things that'll come out in the Indian papers to start with. But the interesting thing will be how many cricketers actually come on record in terms of the overseas players. I don't think the Indian players will ever come on record. Like, you know, and they're reticent for a reason. I can relate with it because Indian cricketers historically have never spoken out about many issues. Like, you know, it's only now that a couple of them at least mention something on social media about anything. Like, even with this, right? Going back to my answer to Jalisa's question, like, you know, when all this was happening, if the only message you can provide is, oh, put your mask on, wash your hands, and, like, you know, things that you know by now. It's not, the pandemic's not new. It's been around for the last 20 months. If that's the best you can do, then I think you're not doing your best job as a role model that people look up to you. So in terms of the bubble breach, I'm sure there will be stories. And, you know, at some level, right, man, as I was thinking about it earlier today, this was bound to happen. Mm. Like, unless you had a situation where it was only the players in the bubble and they were actually cooking for each other and, like, you know, they were doing their own washing, there's no way you could have stopped this because you have people inside that bubble who are not as, like, you know, as illustrious or as well-paid as the players are. Right, they're cooking for you. I mean, look at Chennai Super Kings. The bus cleaner contracted from somewhere, and, like, you know, Lakshmipathy Balaji gets it, support staff member, and Mike Hussey, like, you know, in the same bus, or maybe it was passed on through L Balaji, like, you know, his colleague in the support staff. So there was bound to be a breach. Like, you know, when on the doorsteps of these stadiums, there are funeral pyres, like, you know, are burning on the pavement. How can you, I mean, at some level stop the bubble from being breached? Like, yes, it was the safest place, but was it going to stay safe for 2 months? Well, we found out not really.
Yeah, you're right. Unless they were living on tinned food and not seeing anyone, not going within 50 metres of anyone else, the best bubble in the world is, you know, it's going to be breached. Now, I know Indians wouldn't be thinking much about this, but in as much as they would be, what do you think the reaction would be in India when they hear of the fact that Australia has closed its borders to Australian citizens in India, obviously a sizable proportion of whom are of Indian descent?
Shock. I think, you know, surprise, considering, you know, see the way the Indians or Indians in general look at the West, or, like, you know, Western countries are, like, you know, they're first world countries. Like, they'll do anything for their citizens. Like, you know, they'll go out of their way and do something for the citizens. But that's really how we're brought up. Like, I don't know, maybe that's what we have shown on movies and, like, you know, because that's our first exposure to the West, whether it's America, whether it's Australia or the UK. And you know, that's how our mindset is. So you're like, okay, and, like, you know, I've spoken to friends. They're like, okay, I understand if India had, like, you know, put in such draconian measures, but Australia, really? And, you know, there are some circles that, like, you know, some people even use a racist angle to it. Like, you know, I don't know whether we should subscribe to it or not, but people are like, why India? Like, you know, when the US was reeling last year, you didn't shut flights from there. So, yeah, I mean, there are so many angles that you can look at it. But, yeah, people in India are, like, surprised. Like, what? You have, like, your cricketers, and especially with the cricketers, which is kind of silly when there are other 8,000 other people there. But more than anything, they'll be like, so you don't want Pat Cummins back, really? You know, we'll keep him if you want to.
And what about you? Do you feel different about the country you now live in?
Yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, you know, my opinion has, of course, changed, and it's flavored by the fact that I've lived here for the last 2.5 years. And like, you know, I understand how Australian society works to an extent. And, you know, the fact that, you know, 2 or 3 cases in a state and you can just, you have the ability to lock down, like, a state completely.
I just found it interesting, Barrett, that you're saying, you know, as someone who, I guess, when you're looking at Western culture and you think, oh, you're sort of saying, well, that's the way that we sort of think. It's not really a Western thing to do. As someone who, like, my family's been here for, you know, generations, and I have Anglo-Saxon background, very boring background. I'm completely shocked and really disgusted that, like, it's not just, you know, from the outside looking in. It's people who have been, you know, born and bred here and got a lot of ancestry here. I find it quite shocking. And I mean, you open up your passport and it says you are afforded all the protections of this country. And I'm just absolutely baffled. And I would love just one constitutional lawyer to just want to make a name for themselves and take it on, because I just find it completely bizarre that as a Western country who's always been quite progressive, that we would lock out anybody.
I feel the same way.
And you know, especially nobody saying, like, you know, just bring them back and, like, you know, just release them into, like, you know, into normal society. Yeah. Anyway, they'll have to quarantine. And you have quarantine facilities. And, like, you know, there are new ones propping up all around the country. And I'm sure, like, you know, you can spread them out in this massive continent that is Australia, and, you know, and find space. And that's one thing that, like, you know, I'll be honest, like, you know, when I actually found out there are 8,000, 9,000 still in India, I was a little surprised, because I know of a lot of Indians who were stuck all around the country who have, like, you know, it's unfair comparing numbers when it comes to India and Australia, when it comes to people and numbers. But, you know, I was surprised that so many people are still, you know, kind of stuck and have been unable to come back, some for a long, long time.
I think because I sort of have a friend of a friend who's in that category, and he's been stuck over there for a really long time because, first of all, the flights were not available, but also just extremely expensive and near impossible. And, yeah, I find it, as you said, like, you've come back, you quarantine, you're not like you're coming back. And we didn't do it when the proportions got to the same point in other countries. I find it a very bizarre decision.
I also think that in addition to those who are stuck and can't get back, there are those who might have chosen not to come back, and that's not a crime. I mean, you might be over there on, you know, very good job, doing really well, and
With family.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to suddenly say. I mean, I've got friends who are overseas at the moment in that situation, not in India, but in a country that potentially something really bad could happen. And if that did happen, and the government sort of implicitly said, "Well, you could have come back any time over the last 18 months," it would be but to at the expense of a dream job and a kind of a material change in your quality of life. And I agree that the Australian government should say we're going to do whatever we can to get our citizens home if they want to come home.
I'm glad that they haven't sort of made an exception for the cricketers, though. I think that point does. I mean, that would be really horrific if you did make an exception for a bunch of elite players.
But I don't think they were really ever. They've never really been asking for an exception.
They've never asked. No, they made that point today. They said we still won't ask for an exemption.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if Cricket Australia charter something to get them home, and that's something that's not available to others, well, that's kind of their employer doing it.
Yeah.
I think the BCCI is going to pay for this charter. That's what's come out at the press conference today. So Cricket Australia have been very smart, and they're going to say it's not our charter, it's the BCCI charter. So that kind of gets them out of hot water. But I actually disagree on one part to that I kind of think the cricketers do deserve an exemption, that these are our national representatives. They play for our national team. Some of them are national heroes, and we can't just abandon them and to sort of lump them with, you know, the 8,000-9,000 other Aussies that are over there. It's not the same. Pat Cummins means more to this country than just a lot of people.
What? So, no, but there is, there's a lot of people in Australian-based companies that have gone over for work over there, and we just go, you're not
Pat Cummins.
I don't care.
I care, and the country cares. I mean, you know, the
oh, my God, check your privilege.
Well, I'm not saying I deserve exemption.
No, but that's like, I'm sure Pat Cummins wouldn't go, well, I'm better than this person that works for a bank, so let me home.
But, you know, they're over there playing in the IPL. Australia is in bed with the BCCI in cricket terms. I think they've gone over there. They're pseudo-representing Australia. They should be fucking protected.
They're not representing
who's
Australia.
Who's going to win the Ashes for us next summer if 38 cricketers are stuck in India?
You're just saying outrageous things.
No, I genuinely believe
throw the line
that
out.
If the Australian cricketers are put on a pedestal for a reason because they're our heroes.
We'll talk about this off air.
I mean, what I would say, guys, is I think thanks to the IPL, in some strange way, it's really brought this issue into more focus, right? Hmm. If the IPL wasn't on, if there weren't 40 Australian cricketers or ex-cricketers in India right now, and if Michael Slater hadn't tweeted what he tweeted, I wonder whether this issue would have come, become like this national dialogue. It would have, but not to this extent.
We'd be talking about Stuart McGill getting kidnapped tonight instead of the IPL. I've got a couple of questions before we let you go, Barrett. What are the long-term implications of the IPL being called off? There's a couple of elements. Obviously, the World T20 now is in grave doubt that it can be hosted in India. And secondly, I have a fear that the BCCI will just now try and shoehorn the rest of the IPL into the calendar somewhere this year, come what may. You know, they'll just go, well, doesn't matter what's going on, we're going to play it in the UAE, the second half, whether that's, when the Australian summer starts or not.
They've already said that they're looking at September as being a window as soon as they come back from from their tour of England, which is a pretty long tour, which also includes the World Test Championship final. So they're not going to give up. I mean, just the fact that they've said it's postponed, which we've seen with a lot of other series as well, I don't think they will use the word cancelled as yet because there is still a lot of money at stake. They will find a way. Look, their BCCI, the one thing they've done with the IPL since it began is they have found some way or the other to make it happen. In very different circumstances. In 2009, the second year, you guys would remember, it was taken to South Africa in the space of 3 days. Mm. They found some way to take the whole league to South Africa. In 2014, they took it to the UAE because there were elections. Last year, they managed the whole show in the UAE. While the rest of the world was fighting a pandemic, they somehow took all these players and all these people to the UAE. So, you'd back them in a strange way to, find a way to pull this off. That's really you're right about that. Whether it's in September or whether it's sometime else, I don't know. Because personally, I don't see how they can, they'll make it happen. But also, it also tells you about the mindset of India in general right now, guys. Because people are saying May 15th is when it's going to peak, there are people almost believing that, okay, after May 15th, things are just naturally going to become better, right? Like, it's like D-Day, and then things just not automatically become better. But from what we're seeing, I don't think that's the case. The virus is spreading at a rapid pace. We're just hearing about newer and newer and deadlier variants every day.
We wish all you and your family all the best through this tough time. We hope everyone pulls through. And, we're thinking of you.
We are.
Thank you so much, guys. And like I've been saying over the last 2 weeks, whoever is listening to this and whoever you speak to, just ask them to send all their prayers and blessings to India because they can do with it right now. It's not easy. It's just to just put it into perspective. Think about it. In 2021, someone told me the other day, it's like people are suffocating and dying. So that's how bad it is. Send all your love to India. And hopefully they'll come out the other side bright and we'll see everyone reach their respective homes and everyone's safe.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us,
Barrett. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Barrett.
No worries at all. Cheers. Bye.
Great stuff there from Barrett Sundaresan. I can't believe you want to abandon our Aussie cricketers, Jaleesa.
I don't want to abandon them.
I don't want
to abandon them. I just think that it would have sent a really poor message if there was an exemption or if they'd asked for an exemption because I don't think anyone is above anyone else. But I actually do think the cricketers, largely some of them have got a really rough name out of this because people are...
But I'm sick of everyone just using this for political points. CA don't want to look bad. Scott Morrison doesn't want to look bad. The cricketers don't want to look bad. But the fact is they were given exemptions to go. They've been allowed to leave. They're representing Australia.
They're not representing Australia.
Australian cricket is playing in an international competition. It's the biggest T20 franchise comp in the world. But they are, you know, they put them on the front page when they do something good in the IPL. So you can't say, oh, that, you know, one minute they're representing us and the next, oh, they're not. They're over there on their own.
No, I disagree. I don't think they're representing. And one of the comments that really, really annoyed me came from Chris Lynn when he said,
"It's me."
No, no, Menace. I mean, yes, but
yeah.
No, to the comment from Chris Lynn, and I think this is where everyone got tarred with the same brush, was when Chris Lynn said, well, Cricket Australia make 10% of all these contracts, so why can't we use that 10%? Yeah, you make the other 90. So, yeah, it's not really, they didn't send you over there, that was your choice. And I just think then all the cricketers got tarred with the wrong, with a really bad brush, when a lot of them have actually been quite reasonable about it, like Pat Cummins, and done a lot of good. But, yeah, so I do think they got a rough name, but I think there was some pretty ignorant comments too.
I think there's a reflex reaction from a lot of people to assume that they're asking for special treatment when they haven't been. I think it's kind of halfway between. Obviously, they're not technically representing Australia, but I do have some sympathy for Mena's point that I think they're sort of de facto representing Australia. That if, as I said in one of the other shows, when Pat Cummins made his donation, and when a player does well, it is something that reflects well on Australia. In the same way that when a tennis player playing overseas, ostensibly for themselves, when they win, there's some sort of reflected glory in Australia. And as I said, the other point, although even if you say that they're not representing Australia, given that in the normal course of events, the World Cup of T20 cricket was to be held in October and November in India, I think it could be argued that they were over there getting valuable experience to then represent Australia and would then represent Australia better. But it's kind of academic. I think that they haven't really been asking for special treatment. And I get a bit annoyed when people on Twitter are sort of assuming that they are and they fire up for no reason.
I think also people get, people have this really funny argument of, well, they're getting paid this much. It's like, yeah, they were always getting paid that. That's not really an excuse to. I don't think any of the our citizens should be abandoned over there. That's my point.
100%.
I think everyone should be coming. But you're right, Paul. I think people like have this reflex reaction with anger, and it's there's always because they're making a lot of money. People like there's that tall poppy syndrome.
Absolutely.
I mean, Chris Lynn's comments really annoyed me.
I just don't like it when Scott Morrison and all the politicians, they sidle up to the cricketers when it's good for votes. They'll put their arms around them and get in photos when they're trying to win over the electorate. But now, when they really need us, it's cut and run.
Typically, too, I think people are, we need to make this point really clear. You can get home. You just have to go through, like, the Maldives for 2 weeks or whatever.
Well, no, the
border's shut.
The border's shut till May 15th. So,
but you can quarantine in, like, what Slater's doing.
Oh, I see, yeah. And after 14 days.
After 14 days. No, you can. So people think, like, that it's shut completely. So if you've ever been to India, you just can't come. But they actually can get home. They just have to quarantine through, like, Maldives or another place where it is open. And not everyone can do that. Cricketers do have the money to do that, but not everyone can.
But to your point, man, as I like the Batuta Advocate article today where it sort of, you know, satirically quoted Scott Morrison saying that Michael Slater should stick to rugby league. I thought that was quite...
All right, we're going to take our first break in this episode of the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. Thanks again for Barrett Sundaresan from CricBuzz for joining us. I just want to remind you, if you like this show, find us on Twitter or Instagram at Oz Cricket Pod. That's AUS Cricket Pod. Please share the podcast, review the podcast on Apple or whatever app you listen to the show on. Our new YouTube page is going off. Search Cricket Unfiltered on YouTube. We put videos up there from shows and there's behind the scenes clips. So go to YouTube and search Cricket Unfiltered. And finally, we've got our Patreon subscription service. I've put a couple of interviews up there. Paul's got a couple of great Dennett deep dives up there. And good news for you Apple phone holders that Apple subscriptions are on the way for podcasts. So I'll actually be able to duplicate our Patreon offering on Apple in the next couple of weeks. So those Shane Watson, Lisa Stelaker, and soon-to-be-released Greg Chappell interview will be available via the new Apple subscription service.
as will the Dennett Deep Dives. The one I released today on Don Bradman is, if I may say so myself, a cracker.
I really enjoyed the first one. It was excellent.
Yeah, thank you for listening to it. I appreciate that.
Took a couple of weeks, but I got there in the end. All right, we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back. You're listening to the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menas. I'm with Jaleesa and Paul. And let's just sort of continue working through what's been a friggin' crazy few days in cricket. The cricket world never stops. And I have to say, nothing drives the conversation in Australia like the cricketers. I mean, it's been front, back pages for the last few days. You know, none of the football codes get the same penetration.
That's so, just been Menas. I wish that was the case. It's just not true.
It's true.
It's true in your little world, and it's true in my little world as well. But you've got to go to Melbourne one day and open up the paper and see 46 pages of Aussie rules.
But what I'm saying is that's not translated across the country. I mean, the whole country is talking about this issue right now with India.
Yeah.
No one's talking about the injury subs in AFL.
I bet you they are. I mean, there's about 15 simultaneous podcasts right now talking about a ruck rover from Hawthorn who's got a tight hamstring, and the whole of Melbourne's like,
oh, just a quick update. I didn't make it to the AFL on Saturday.
Oh.
I had an operation on Friday, and it was a lot worse than I thought, so I couldn't go out on Saturday. So
oh, no.
Didn't get to see my Swannies win against the Cats. All right.
In a controversial fashion, too.
Yeah, yeah. Of course I watched it at home.
It was quite an ending.
I was actually disappointed I didn't get to go, and I would have caught up with our listener Robert Fairhead and his niece maybe. All right, more news. Okay, so with the IPL, this is what Nick Hockley, the CEO, and Todd Greenberg have said, that the plan is at the moment they're trying to move the whole contingent of Australians, which is 38 players, coaches and commentators and umpires as well, from India to a safe haven like the Maldives or Sri Lanka. I actually don't know if they can come home after 2 weeks being there because Hockley and Greenberg...
No, they can. That's like
But it won't be May 15th. It'll be a bit later. Then they'll have to spend 2 weeks coming back. If they open the borders on May 15th, the BCCI is going to charter a plane to get that contingent back to Australia. So, you know, there's a bit to play out there. And then Mike Hussey has done 2 COVID tests. It's come back positive. Apparently his symptoms are mild at the moment. His franchise is looking after him. He now has to spend at least 10 days in a hotel room.
So he won't be on that flight?
No, so he's going to be left in India now, stranded by himself.
See, I think that's a problem.
Of course it is.
And what, I think he gets sick.
Yeah.
I think that they should say, we're going to take a second flight, and any cricketer or person, and this is Cricket Australia I'm talking about, any cricketer or attendant person with the cricket who's sick should go on that second flight because, I mean, Hussey, he's a fit guy. He's pretty young. Almost certainly he'll be fine, but what if he's not?
Yeah, exactly.
What if something happened to Mr. Cricket? What if something happened to him? It would be awful. And there is actually a concern being spoken about that they're actually worried about putting all 38 Australians together in a plane because what if one player has COVID?
Well, that's what Paul's saying.
Then 38 people are going to be in high risk. So
well, I mean, it's no different to the flights that are coming in.
No, but imagine like all 38.
Yeah, but
that whole contingent.
But full flights are coming in with people on COVID.
I know, but can you imagine if they get to the Maldives and they've all been on a plane and all got COVID?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think it's the Hussey thing kind of illustrates the fact that you're leaving one of your citizens, and he is a name, but I'm sure there are others, over in a country where you're saying, we're not going to protect you, you're in another country. Well, that country doesn't have the duty to protect you either. This is a serious illness. Like, it is ridiculous that we...
Exactly.
And that's why...
I'm not taking care of people.
Yeah, the government should have said, we are a rich nation, and now's the time to spend the money. And they've made it into, in my opinion, a false choice. They've said, on the one hand, we allow them in through our current hotel quarantine situations, and that's too dangerous, it could spread into the community. Fair enough. But then they've said the other choice is, okay, we just say, no, you can't come in. There's a third way, and that third way is to say, let us find a way to get them in, fly them into Darwin. We've got a massive military. We spend $1 squillion on the military, get all these army people up there, make a tent city. There would be ways to make it happen so that it doesn't have to be either or. And when they say, well, we might start doing something like that. Why weren't you doing that weeks ago when it was obvious that...
Do you mean just for cricket or do you mean for everyone?
All 9,000 of them. Anyone wants to come home...
That's
not just the cricketers, yeah. That it should be anyone who wants to come home, we're going to make it so that we are going to charter you home and we will burn money in doing so. And if I was an Australian in India and that wasn't being done, I'd be fuming. I'd be like, how dare you? How dare you do this to me as a citizen of this nation?
If I was India, I'd be fuming too because I'm like, these are your citizens. They want to go home. We're not taking care of them.
So a couple of points then. There are reports coming today. I think it's filtering through to ScoMo and his little dumb marketing department that this has been a very unpopular decision. And the government...
What's the unpopular decision?
The closing the border
and
to the May
jail,
15th.
The threat of jail.
So he softened with that. He's going, I don't think anyone will get thrown in jail.
Then why did you... You either made the law or you didn't.
He's an idiot.
If they've put the law in... Then he doesn't get to decide. The courts get to decide. Was he going to overreach and say to the court, no, he's taking over the court system now?
He's bumbling from press conference to press conference, double Donald Trump style.
And the other thing is...
The government now, the reports are the government may now put on repatriation flights for those 8,000, 9,000 people starting May 15th because commercial flights might not start operating.
And there's only one problem with that. I agree with it being May 15th. But it should have been May 15, 2020, not May 15, 2021.
Well, I mean, you've got to do it in every country. Like, there are citizens stuck everywhere.
No, they should be doing it everywhere.
And by now, they should have got, anyone who wanted to get home should have been
able
to get home.
Should be home by now. Yeah. Jaleesa, I think we have to give Paul a little bit of credit for two shows ago saying the IPL should be called off.
Oh, yeah.
We kind of laughed a little, maybe argued. I think we were wrong.
Yeah,
like I was so right about that dismissal in the.
I was going to say, why were you so magnanimous towards Robert's knee?
Yeah, I definitely think it should have been called off. Should be called off now. I still don't think it should have been called off back then, though.
I think
it probably should have been put in the UAE from the start.
I'm not going to qualify it. I'm going to say, Paul, you showed tremendous foresight, and I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Your powers of analysis. Came to the fore. All right, now back to the issue of the ban with India. You know, it's come through. You say Indians must be upset. So Labor MP Michelle Rowland, who's from Western Sydney representative at the Greenway electorate, you can tell I'm very au fait with talking about politics. She's getting lots of calls from the Indian community that is quite large out there that this travel ban is racist. Now, obviously, there's some political stuff here. She's Labor. Our elected government is Liberal. But I do not doubt this at all. If you were a local Indian, you would be thinking this is prejudiced.
Well, I think particularly because perhaps it's not how do I word this? Perhaps it's not like this conscious racism, but it's like this racism that undertones that have led to this. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, it's not like they've gone, we don't want people in India who have spent time in India or whatever coming back because they are in India. So that's racist. I think it's more the race. There's an undertone there from like so many like shock jocks and people talking and people ringing up the radio being like, I was listening to talkback radio before the borders. I listen to it all the time, and most of the time it's just infuriates me. I don't know why I do it, but I do want to know the other side of the.
You come to this podcast recording, so you like being infuriated.
I get a kick out of it. But leading into this ban, there were so many people ringing up and saying, "Why aren't the borders closed?" Blah blah blah. But it's like, well, the numbers actually weren't at the levels that they were peaking at in other countries, and we didn't close to them, so. I think there was some sort of like racist undertones that you didn't see with other countries that then probably did perpetuate and lead to this. So I don't disagree with it.
I'm sure that those who've made the decision would deny it. And I'm sure they'd actually genuinely believe that. But I tend to agree with you, Jaleesa. And I imagine if the IPL was the 100 right now and the exact same thing was happening in England, would they, and I'm bringing cricket into it, which is kind of wrong, but if the crisis like this was occurring in England or New Zealand, would they be saying you'll go to jail if you try to come back in? I suspect that they wouldn't.
Well, there's quite a recent example of this. Wasn't it the 2005 Ashes when the Australian Ashes touring party was there when the London bus bombings happened? and they stayed. Now, can you imagine if that happened in another country, they might have been whisked away. So, yep, I had some really good points there. More things coming out of this. I think that this ordeal, from what Todd Greenberg said, the strain that the players are under, I think this will have a big effect on the rest of the year, their mental health. I think some of them will opt out of going on tours over the next few months. And I just worry about the effect on the players. It's a very anxious situation. They've been basically cut off from the country that they represent with such great, pride. So I think the effects of this will be long-term, I think.
You may well be right. And I'm sure that, yeah, it wouldn't be, as I said before, it wouldn't be a nice feeling to feel that the borders had shut to you. And to touch again on the point of the people saying, oh, you know, they're earning good money going over there. So what? Why wouldn't you earn good money? I mean, you'd have to be a bloody idiot if you didn't take the opportunity. Anyone who gets an opportunity to earn fantastic money, or take Slater. I don't know what his financial situation is, but maybe his IPL contract is the main thing that his family are banking on for paying the mortgage this year. I mean, he left. There was no DFAT thing saying you can't leave. It seemed fine. And he's gone over there. I'm sure he regrets going now, but to have the border shut in his face purely for trying to earn a living, I just think that that just sounds wrong.
Yeah, I don't begrudge anyone for making the money that they were offered. I was, again, with Chris Lynn's comments, I was just annoyed at the that Cricket Australia make 10%, so why can't we get a flight? It was like, well, yeah, but they didn't make you go over there, so, yeah, that doesn't really add up for me. But
They should pay for their own flight.
They should pay for their own flight, 100%, but I don't begrudge anyone making money.
No, not at all. But I asked Barrett about this. I think a lot's going to come out from behind the scenes in the IPL about how many things have gone wrong. And Pete Lawler, on his podcast today, Cricket Etc., was saying that even a couple of days ago when the Calcutta Knight Riders had a positive test, the BCCI wanted to go ahead with the game that night. And the rumours are that Virat Kohli said, no way.
Yes.
And
so
I actually think the BCCI, there could be some significant fallout from this. And I don't think the overseas players will have that much faith in them anymore. I got a text message this morning from Paul Dennett very early, something about McGill's being kidnapped. And I just could not believe this. So on April 14th, Stuart McGill, he manages a restaurant in the lower North Shore of Sydney. He was near there. He saw someone he knows, and then he was abducted, taken to the southwest of Sydney.
Allegedly. It's just throwing a few allegedly's here.
Oh, yeah. Come for me, you gangster.
Oh, my goodness. Don't come for me.
Taken to the southwest of Sydney, beaten up. They tried to extort money. And then
allegedly.
He was taken and dropped in a place called, I think, Belmore or Belrose or somewhere.
What do you mean you think called Belmore?
I don't know. Sorry, you're getting so loosey-goosey with these facts for such a serious story.
The way you're saying it was like, that in his mind, Belmore is somewhere that you can only reach by spaceship. Like, it is so far from your orbit. It's Belmore. It's not that far. I mean,
I don't think I've ever been there.
Oh, yes, you have.
Oh, you live in the eastern suburbs, though. You don't travel outside.
Surely you used to go to Canterbury games back in the day.
Yeah,
you
don't go to the doggies.
People in the eastern suburbs don't travel outside the eastern suburbs.
Not if I can help it. The issue is, Australia's one of Australia's greatest spin bowlers was kidnapped, beaten up. Today there's been some arrests made as a result of this. I love Stuart McGill. As a player, I loved watching him bowl. We've got an episode of Cricket Unfiltered archived in the National Film and Sound Archive. Every time I see Stewie, he's friendly. He's a larger-than-life character. And I just found this news very upsetting. And I'm glad he's all right, like physically now, but I hope it, wasn't a severe beating.
Yeah, it's hideous. I mean, it's just disgraceful, repugnant and horrible, and I hope he's okay.
So that will play out. We'll be talking about that as more news comes to hand, but I just wish Stewie all the best. I hope he's doing okay. All right, last bit of news. So I've got some audio here of Stephen O'Keefe talking on SEN Radio to your mates Joel and Fletch, which is the afternoon show in Sydney. Jaleesa goes on there usually about once a week to talk rugby league.
Yes, I do.
I didn't know they asked you. They got out of you that you had a gap year. Where did you go?
I went to do like a Kentucky in Europe, but I actually got really sick in Switzerland, which is a good place to get sick, I have to say. Like, Switzerland were onto it. So yeah. I was...
Zurich or Geneva?
In Zurich.
Oh, that's the one.
It was...
Beautiful city.
Yeah, I mean, and great healthcare. But I started in England, and then when did I go? France, and then Switzerland, and got really sick, and that wasn't great, but...
So what did you do? Did you get out of Switzerland? Were you in the hospital for a while?
I was in hospital for quite a few weeks. And then,
God.
Yeah. And then and I had like this awful lumbar puncture, and that after you can't really walk properly after that. It was awful.
So you must have a lot of empathy and sympathy for my cussie situation, stuck in a hospital overseas.
And I also
stranded.
Yeah. And I was also by myself.
Kentucky's a bit like the IPL.
I also was by myself, and whatever tour I was on, I don't know if it was Kentucky. I can't remember because it's a little while ago now, but they sort of, like, kept going, so I was literally by myself in Switzerland. But they were all so nice to me, and yeah,
that's good. I actually went on a gap year, played cricket in Essex in England, and did a Kentucky tour at the end of it.
Did you?
Didn't get sick though. Not get sick.
Oh well, that's lucky for you.
Did you have a gap year, Paul?
No, I should have. I should have. I went to university, totally immature, and I was so excited about the prospect that I didn't have to attend lectures. I made a point of not attending them to an idiot point. Like, a gap year would have sharpened me up nicely, and I would have realised, skip one or two. Don't skip every single one.
just like skip the morning ones. I actually worked before I went over there, so I was an assistant to a grain broker.
Yeah, because you didn't go on schoolies because you were saving money.
I was saving money, and schoolies was also not a huge thing like in the country. I guess it is now. But it wasn't really something I thought of going on. But, yeah, and because I was going on this gap year.
All right. Let's listen to Stephen O'Keefe talking about the next captain of Australia. Should it be Pat Cummins?
And over there, whether he can captain Australia, look, I think, yes, as a player and his cricket knowledge, he's done it for New South Wales already in the One Day Cup. My issue is it's bloody hard as a fast bowler. I mean, you go through, name the last fast bowler that's captain Australia. It's so hard to do. And I tend to think if he's going to be an all-rounder and open the bowling and that, my first preference would be Steve Smith. And, I think a lot of people, may not have endeared himself with South Africa and whatnot, but I think you can't charge a person twice or punish him twice. He served his time out. He still is, in my opinion, got the best cricket brain out of everyone. And I think if there's a greater story than redemption or what Aussies love to see, redemption stories, I'd love to see him do it. However, Paddy Cummins, it has been outstanding for New South Wales in the last couple of weeks when he did it in the one-day tournament, and I think he'd be a great leader and captain as well.
So, what do you think? What's Sock had to say?
Not
called Smith the best cricket brain in the country.
Look, not that he's over the hill, but there's 4 years difference between Pat Cummins and Steve Smith. Like, Steve Smith's 31. If we're looking for a long-term captain, I think probably we need to go a little bit younger, someone that's going to be around for a little bit longer, and you don't get any guarantees, especially with a fast bowler who's had injuries. But I just think, and I'm not even sure Pat Cummins is the best choice, but I just think we probably need to be looking at someone who's going to be around a little bit longer.
I think 31's a good age.
Or going to that next generation.
Manus.
Like Manus, yeah, like Manus. Like if Tim Payne kicks on for a few, for another year, why not Manus?
Yeah, I think that as far as O'Keefe's point about not being punished twice, I don't think that's the case. I don't think anyone's saying that he's not in legitimate consideration to be captain. So that's fine. It's just, should he be the captain? I don't know him, but I would be surprised if he has the best cricket brain in the side. I think that there would be others who are more tactically astute.
I'm going to go with the guy that's played with him.
Well, then we should just cancel the podcast. Why should we have an opinion?
That's oh my god! Hang on, we should cancel the podcast. Oh my god! Okay, I'm going to go home.
I think the notion that a fast bowler can't captain, I think it's outdated. I think he can, if there had to be a decision tomorrow, I'd pick Cummins, but I think Payne will be around for another year and things will be probably quite different when he leaves.
I have to say I'd be happy with either. If Smith got it, I'd be happy. If Cummins got it, I'd be happy. I think both could do a really good job. I know it's a boring answer. I just...
You're getting like so soft in your
I just
old
like
age.
Pat Cummins. I just like Pat Cummins and Steve Smith. That stuff when he at the end of the summer when he was kind of having subtle jibes at Cummins' captaincy.
Hang on, when was he having jibes?
During the Marsh One Day Cup, he was asked, "Oh, how do you think Cummins did?" And he was like, "Oh, it was a pretty easy day for him." And you know, he just can't let it go sometimes, Smith.
Is that fair? I need to hear these comments.
You should hear the comments because when you put that with the article that came out 2 or 3 weeks later, he wants the captaincy. I think there was an element Smith feels he should have been given that Marsh job.
I think captaincy also is a lot about off the field now than ever. And I think Pat Cummins is just got the perfect temperament for that because we've sort of seen that during the IPL that he sort of stood up and led the way of, the donations and things. But also when he did speak, and he was speaking, I think, on Fox last night.
The back page?
He was very considered and nothing that he said was something that would be tone deaf or, you know, I just think he's also very good off the field.
Yeah.
All right. That was the cricket headlines. Just a few to get through this week. And we'll be back with our final segment. We've got a message from a listener and can't let it go. And it's the last segment of the Cricket Unfiltered podcast. I'm Menes. I'm with Paul and Jaleesa. And we're going to get into Can't Let It Go in a sec. But I just want to respond to some viewer mail, this silly double dismissal that's just been going on for weeks.
This is my favourite narrative in my life.
The next element. After the last show, we got a message from
previously
Lachlan who, I'll read it out. I can confirm that I was the individual in question who performed the double dismissal. Both dismissals were effectual and thus both batsmen were out. Because I play a variant called Last Man Stands, I'm nowhere near good enough to play grade cricket. He said other rule variants in Last Man Stand include only 8 players and the fact that the last batsman can bat by themselves. Thank you, Lachlan, for proving my point that it's not really cricket. But a great game by the sounds of it.
Yeah, but the whole thing was when we both said, no, that can't be because it's grade cricket, Jaleesa said maybe she was watching something that wasn't grade cricket. I think that's the key point.
Okay, it wasn't cricket, though.
No, but that what Jaleesa said was right, and we both went, no, it just couldn't happen. And then exactly what she said came to pass. And so, yes, technically, we're not saying that tomorrow...
We're saying it's test matches.
Can't do it. We get that. But I think that that's a technicality. It's not the hill to die on, man.
I'm not dying. I just want to congratulate Lachlan. I just want to congratulate Lachlan.
I am just sitting here, like, part three of this is just like, oh, thank you, Lachlan. Like, you're just keeping it going. Because if you don't know what we're talking about, go back 2 episodes and skip to the end.
All right. It's Can't Let It Go time. That little bit of cricket news you just can't let go through to the keeper. Well, Jaleesa thought she dodged a bullet because we were going to record on May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day, but was pushed back to May the 5th. But
when I got this email that said May Star Wars episode, I was like, what?
Yeah, well,
I am not down.
It was never going to be a Star Wars episode.
I'm not down for that. I have never seen Star Wars. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, well, I've just picked, you know, which cricketers would be these Star Wars characters. Oh, but really, what I want
no sense to me.
Is the fans out there to give me yours. I've just gone 5. I've gone Luke Skywalker would be Steve Smith.
Why?
Or Tim Payne. Sorry, Steve Smith would be Luke Skywalker. Tim Payne would be Han Solo, the hero. Merv Hughes would be Chewbacca. Michael Clarke would be Darth Vader. And Alan Border would be Obi-Wan Kenobi. Now, for all the Star Wars fans out there, give me yours over the next week, and I'll read some out next week.
I only know Darth Vader as the bad guy. Why have you picked Michael Clarke for that?
Okay, you can fill in the gaps, Jaleesa. I'm not going to just spell it all out.
Does Darth Vader get unfairly picked on?
The one thing I know is
does Darth Vader get bullied?
No,
Darth Vader Luke Skywalker's dad or something. Are you saying that Michael Clarke is Steve Smith's father?
Maybe.
Steve.
Maybe. What's your can't let it go, Paul?
Andrew Voss on his breakfast show on SCN the other day just said something I thought was quite good. If you look it up on Vossi's verdict on the 4th of May, and he just made a point that we are all naturally talking about the cricket and the Australian issues from the IPL and the Australian issues for Australians stranded over there in India. And I just wanted to make that point that just to the Indian people, what how our thoughts go out. We said it earlier on, but the extent of the tragedy that is occurring over there and hearing these horrible tales of people with, you know, I see it on Twitter where people I know are saying, please amplify this, this person needs oxygen, and then they come back 3 hours later, thanks for all your efforts, unfortunately that person has already died. And it's just, I never thought I would live to see something like this and playing out in real time, you know, for people like me to see it from all this distance away. So hopefully things turn around, and it's a ghastly period of time.
And what was Vossi saying?
He was just making that point that he sort of said, we're going to go into the show and we're going to talk about it all from a cricket point of view and a logistics point of view, but I just want to sort of make a punctuation point here and say the real story is the human tragedy.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a good point. I kind of wanted to echo that.
Yeah.
We have spent the whole podcast talking about it from those points of view, naturally enough, because we are a sports podcast. But just, and he had an actual personal testimony of someone's circumstances, and it was just a horrific story. So I'm not going to read that out, but if you listen to that, you'll hear it. So I just wanted to make that point.
Can you imagine 18 months ago if someone had said to us, people are going to be trying to do everything they can to get an oxygen tank?
Yeah.
Like, you could never have imagined that 18 months ago.
It's just unbelievable.
Yes.
Well, Jaleesa, do you have a can't let it go for us
this
evening?
Yeah, why do you say that? Like, I'm unprepared. Like, why do you do that? Do you do that to me?
Because, as you know, as you at pains to point out, it says in the notes, doesn't have to be every week. So
yeah, but every week I have been absolutely roasted that I haven't had one. And I have learnt my lesson. Okay, so Bangladesh tailender Tajul Islam has got a very unfortunate dismissal. And you know what I've
I saw this.
Do you know what I've decided I actually like about cricket? Because I think if you sit down and you think about it, you don't know what you like about cricket. It's very long. And sometimes there's no result. You sit there thinking, am I okay? Am I a psychopath? But actually, and so you're getting these weird, like, anyway, a lot of head noise. But what I actually really like is dismissals when they're just awful. Like, when there's just so much pain involved. So
you're a masochist.
I mean, pain, like, not physically, I don't like that. But
you're
just like
watching people in
emotional pain, and you're just like, oh man.
Do you like cheer when someone gets out for 99? Yeah.
No, I don't. If Starkey's listening,
he's not. That's me.
I reckon he is. So anyway, this dismissal is one of the more unfortunate ones. He didn't tie shoelaces properly.
Yes.
Basic.
He went back and his shoe sort of came off, didn't it, and knocked a bail off.
Yeah, so it was late in on day three. Bangladesh were 9 for 251, trailing Sri Lanka by 242 runs in the first innings. Not great. So they really could have used that wicket. And he was grinding his way at 9 runs from 49 deliveries. And when he went to run, and his shoe has just flicked back, this beautiful coloured shoe has flicked back. And it's just all over. Go and watch it.
Oh, it's a great dismissal.
It's so awful, but it's like,
it's sort of thing you'd see at school level or something. You know, like a little kid's shoes come off. Incredible.
And it's the kind of thing that just in any other sport, you just wouldn't see such an innocuous thing lead to such a drastic outcome for your sport.
The kind of thing that makes you happy.
I mean, it didn't make me happy. I just perked up a little bit.
Oh, good. Well, I think we've come to the end of this edition of Cricket Unfiltered. I've got my interview with Greg Chappell coming out next week, so keep an eye out for that. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Paul, have a good week.
You too, guys.
What's on? What's on for the week?
No cricket now, because the IPL stops cricket, doesn't it? So there's going to be a few test matches on overseas, a bit of county cricket, and that's
it. You could watch some, like, old games.
I've actually made an effort. I want to make an effort to stream more county cricket this winter.
I saw Labuschagne get out LBW to a medium pacer.
Yeah, really? The guy's like mid-40s or something.
Yeah, like it was one of those ones, a bit like how Copeland got him out, like swung back in, cracked him in front. And that bloke that I mentioned the other week that bowled the sort of the worn ball, he's bowled another one. Batsman's shoulders, arm, left-hander, and it's come back flying back and hit the off stump. So maybe someone for the Ashes, forgot his name, but
Yes. Anyway, I'm going to be streaming more county cricket. I suggest you guys. Apparently, they've expanded their coverage of county cricket this summer.
Why don't you start getting into NRL?
All right. Well, that's it for Cricket Unfiltered, and we'll be back next week.
On Florida's Space Coast, we think you can have the best of both worlds. Kind of like right now. Driving, at your desk, maybe at the gym, but you're also grooving to some music. Visit us and you'll go to the beach and see a rocket launch. Or go kayaking and manatee spotting. It's all waiting for you on the only beach that doubles as a launch pad. Plan your adventure today at visitspacecoast.com.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.